Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, I'm excited to share our newest sponsor here on the Meat Eater Podcast, which is Poncho Outdoors. The reason I'm excited is I buy their shirts anyways. Dude, they make some good shirts. And they even have an option where if you're like a skinny dude, you can click like the skinny dude thing. It's great. Based in Austin, Texas, Poncho is committed to crafting the world's best outdoor shirts for men. Poncho is only sold on their own website. So head over to ponchooutdoors.com, use code MEATEATER for a free hat or t-shirt with any purchase of a shirt. Poncho offers free shipping and returns, so you can try them out risk-free. Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit seafoamworks.com to learn more.
It's a Meat Eater Podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newhart, and today we're joined by Steve Ranella, Clay Newcomb, Brent Reeves, Hunter Spencer, Jason Phelps, Paul Lewis, Dave Smith, and Brad Cochran. This is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking, and there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. Now, Dave and Brad, this is your first time playing Meat Eater Trivia. How do you think you're going to do?
I'm going to bomb.
You think so?
My confidence is at an all-time low.
Okay.
This reminds me of like high school report that's due the next morning, and I've been checking traps all morning and stuff. So
that could help you in this game, though.
It could help. Well, the thing is like I might know the answer, but I will just freaking lock up and panic, like when I can't remember like my uncle's name or something. You know, just like. But you know what? I'm going to get through it.
Okay. Before the show, I was saying Dave didn't have much confidence, and he said I was giving him too much credit. He has zero confidence, what he's declared. Brad, how you think you're going to do a Meat Eater Trivia? Topic is hunting, fishing, conservation, cooking.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, I might do okay. I was worried you were going to say, like, we were going to talk about Einstein's theory of relativity or something.
Yeah, no.
In which
I hope so.
I probably wouldn't do so well.
I'd be satisfied if I could figure out a way to ask that question. It's not in today's round, but yeah, maybe someday I could fit that in.
Fair enough.
Paul, did you ever think about naming your company the Paul Lewis Gear, like Phelps and Dave here did?
We had this conversation earlier.
You did?
We FHF, I wish I would have thought that through and made it something a little easier to pronounce, but... Fuff gear doesn't roll off the tongue.
Now, each week here on Trivia, we reveal a new stat. For the stat of the week this week, we're looking at the prevalence of the name David Smith in America. David Smith is the second most popular full name in the United States. Do you have any guesses as to what is first?
John Smith.
John Smith, yep.
That's not it. Any other guesses as to what the first most popular name is? You have Smith right.
Really?
George.
Paul?
George.
No, James Smith is the most popular full name. So you guys flirted with the right answer, but you didn't quite get it. It's estimated there are 42,000 David Smiths living in America right now. That means you could take every David Smith in the country, sell out Wrigley Field with just David Smiths, and still have enough David Smiths left over to play a baseball game against each other.
Wow. And you could page David Smith.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Dave, how many Dave Smiths do you know?
I know a couple, for sure, even now, which is cool. But I just remember my best friend in grade school, his name was Tim Jones. And we'd like get caught, you know, climbing up on top of the roof or something like that. And they'd catch us and they said, "What are you guys' names?" And we'd be like, "Dave Smith, Tim Jones," and like, "What are your real names?"
Alias Smith and Jones.
Yeah, Alias Smith and Jones.
Now, also on the show, we have an infrequently asked questions segment where we answer fan questions about trivia. This week, our question comes from Clay Newcomb. Clay, what's your question?
Well, there's a lot of stuff thrown around about like who's the best at this game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like wins, losses, all this.
Yep.
I'm interested in percentage of wins per times you've been in the game.
Yep.
And I think I've got a shot.
I can't tell you the answer off the top of my head. I've covered it before. But, Clay, you're top three. You're like, that's right there.
I feel like I win a lot.
Yeah, Clay does very well. He also doesn't play that
and
often.
And get, like, no credit.
We give you your credit. Another strong performer who doesn't play all that often is Tony Peterson.
Yeah.
You and Tony both do well. We could use more Clay and more Tony on
if
on
Steve and Brody aren't here, I have a chance.
Yeah, you're right up there, Clay.
You told me, Spencer told me early on, he just nailed it. He was like, "Clay, your weakness is cooking."
Yeah.
Well, and fishing.
You admitted two that, weaknesses. The cooking. I've seen you cook.
Only half the game.
I agree.
Only half the game is his weakness. Now, for the housekeeping portion of today's show, I want to have Steve share a story that I heard at his birthday party over the weekend. One of Steve's old college roommates explained how Steve developed a foolproof way of keeping a house party from getting busted by the cops. And while Steve has contributed many great things to the hunting and fishing community, I'm convinced this will be his greatest contribution of all. Steve, tell folks that story.
It started out where we were coming back from fishing steelhead on the Pier Marquette River, and someone in front of us hit a deer, and I kept the deer and took it back. I was in school and living in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And
what
was,
time of year?
It was late. It was later in the year, maybe late May, early June. I can't quite remember. Or it might have been like now and then you'd get some Chinook up in. We were fishing the PM.
Okay.
Because now and then you get some Chinook in that river. You'd get Chinook sometimes in July, which is weird. Either way, we're fishing that river. That makes more sense. Either way, guy hits a deer. And I'd take the deer and I'd take it back. And I was living in a kind of a flop house. Like none of the people in the house were on the lease. And none of the people in the house even really knew who the house was rented from. It was just people rotated in and out. And I was on in rotation. And it was friends of mine that lived there. And we had an idea we were going to take the deer I had and cut it up and sew it into a pig and have a pig roast. And somehow I found out that you could do a block party. A family reunion could block the road off for some roads. So I registered a family reunion under an alias that I still use.
David Smith.
No.
No.
And sure enough, the cops came.
What was the scene of this place? Like, how many kids were there? I assume many underage.
Like, way over 100.
Yeah,
many like underage. Like, a lot of people were there.
Broad daylight.
And we had a big sign that said, "The blank blank family reunion." And lo and behold, the cops did show up. We did tell them, "Oh, it's our family reunion."
Well, that's the punchline of the whole thing is you saying that a cops never break up a family reunion.
Yeah.
That was the funny part.
Uh-huh.
And then he went and did this.
And my buddy remembers that when the cop did come, the cop observed that I think my brother's in there.
And then he said, "Well, you must know so-and-so. Must be part of the family." That's an incredible story, Steve.
So in registering your family reunion party, no one actually does any research to find out if, in fact, they take you at face value when you tell them that you're having a family reunion and that you need to block your road off.
That is something that's going to be used on college campuses around the country this spring, Steve. It's a great piece of advice. Now, the Shelby Index for today's round is a 4, so our winner should get 8 correct answers. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question 1, the topic is conservation, and this will be multiple choice. Which of these endangered species?
Well, can I interrupt?
What do you got?
You should tell everybody about how what we did with what we did at the in Portland.
Yeah, so our 100th episode came out, and we tried a new style of meat eater trivia that we're referring to as Meat Poll, where I survey hunters and anglers, and they answer a question one of two ways, and then the people in here predict their answers. We did this at the Portland PNW Sportsman's Show, where I walked around and I surveyed over 100 people who were attending this event, asked them questions like, do you believe in Bigfoot? Does your hunting dog sleep in bed? Would you rather be attacked by an alligator or a mountain lion? The most stunning piece of data we gathered, I think, was, do you believe in Bigfoot?
Well, Spencer, without realizing it, or maybe with realizing it, was doing his survey in very close proximity to the Bigfoot booth.
Yeah, I've been to...
There was a Bigfoot believer
this
booth.
This stuff gets...
There's a Bigfoot believer booth. So he comes back, he's like, 40% of people believe in Bigfoot.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, yeah, at the Bigfoot booth.
Go to the other side of the room.
Yeah, I've been to like a half dozen of these types of shows. I've never seen booth space dedicated to Bigfoot, but the Portland show... had one. Now, also mind you, Washington leads the country in Bigfoot sightings. It's just a Bigfooty area. But 41% of people at this event who were buying calls from Jason Phelps and buying gear from Paul and Dave Smith decoys, they believed in Bigfoot.
41%. How many people were joking when they said it, though?
Well, you know, it's the opposite way, Clay. People would like, they were kind of bashful about saying that they did believe in Bigfoot. Depending on who was around them, they'd be like, yeah, mark me down. Or they'd like kind of, they'd eye who could hear their answer, and they would say yes.
Well, that's why Trump polled low in 2016.
Oh, okay.
People didn't want to talk about it. They didn't want to fight about it.
Well,
later when they're like, how were the polls so wrong? A lot of people were like, yeah, I don't feel like arguing about it. Mm-hmm. I was going to act like I like someone I don't.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I learned that 8% of people there believed that the moon landing was faked. Which is lower than the national average, but they far exceed the amount of people who believe in Bigfoot. So they have their conspiracy theory, and that's Bigfoot, but don't bother asking about a moon landing. They don't buy it. Question one. The topic is conservation. This is multiple choice. Which of these endangered species has the highest population in the wild? Is it blue whales, California condors, red wolves, or black-footed ferrets? Which of these endangered species has the highest population in the wild? Your four choices: blue whales, California condors, red wolves, black-footed ferrets. Now, Dave, you were quick to answer. Is that just to like get it over with, or do you know this one?
It was to get it over with.
Okay,
Dave, give me a little peek what you got, buddy.
Steve agrees. Waiting on Hunter and Jason. Blue whales, California condors, red wolves, black-footed ferrets. Which of those has the highest population in the wild? Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Dave saying blue whales. Paul saying blue whales. Brent saying black-footed ferrets, and he drew us a raccoon-looking black-footed ferret. Phelps saying black-footed.
Why'd you draw a raccoon there?
I did that before he asked the question.
That was his mascot.
Okay.
That was his mascot.
Phelps saying logo. Black-footed ferrets. Hunter saying blue whales. Clay saying blue whales. Brad saying black-footed ferrets. Steve saying blue whales. The correct answer is blue whales.
Yes.
About half of you got that right. It's estimated that in the wild there are 35 red wolves, 350 California condors, 450 black-footed ferrets, and 15,000 blue whales.
Blue whales is one of those ones that they put on that they give endangered species protection to because they feel like it ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's like with the new Wolverine one.
Sure.
They feel like it ought to be endangered.
Yeah, a lot of ocean critters are given a little more leeway.
I wish it was endangered because it'd be sweet if we could put it on the endangered species list.
The greatest threats to blue whales are vessel strikes, entanglement in fishing gear, pollution, and ocean noise. Blue whale populations are on the rise, and biologists are starting to see them return to places they were once extirpated.
Let's go.
Question two. The topic is biology. This next great question comes to us via David Escobales. This eight-letter word is defined as, quote, the hard upper shell of a turtle or crustacean.
Steve knows it. He's
Well, I got to count.
Okay, he's doing the hangman method.
Here's Could you repeat the again. Question?
This eight-letter word is defined as the hard upper shell of a turtle or crustacean.
Do I have to spell it right?
You don't have to spell it right, but I hope you have eight letters, folks.
I think that anything that has to do with how you spell it should be spelled right.
Mm. We're not gonna make you spell it.
That'd be a good
right.
genre of question.
Just spelling.
No, be like a type of question. How do you spell?
Mm.
And then give a biological term.
We did that once.
Oh, you did.
It was.
I don't think.
We did the winning word from the kid spelling bee, which was moorhen, which is a way to describe it. A coot. We had you spell moorhen. It's the only time in meat eater history. We've now had like 1,100 questions. The only time where spelling has mattered. Here's the question again. This eight-letter word is defined as, quote, the hard upper shell of a turtle or crustacean. Who thinks they have it right? The room does not look confident.
You're coming up with seven letters?
Yeah.
Are you writing top shell?
No.
Oh.
Wait a minute.
Eight-letter word. Steve is the only one who has any confidence.
I know I got it right.
Okay. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and Unless reveal you want, your answers.
No. Can you do the? Can I get extra credit for the bottom?
No. We have Dave saying Turtle House. Paul without an answer. Brent saying Epic Crust.
Oh wow, that was a good answer.
Phelps without an answer. Hunter saying Mollusk. Clay saying Exoskeleton.
Spelled
he
wrong.
Ran a few words over, Spelled or a few wrong. Letters over. Brad without an answer. Or Brad saying Exoshell. Steve saying carapace. Steve got it. The correct answer is carapace.
Oh, man.
The carapace is the exoskeleton on the dorsal side of a turtle, while the plastron is the shield on the ventral side. Typically, a male's plastron will be concave, and a female's plastron will be convex, which helps them during breeding. Also, a female's plastron is usually muted in color, which is one of the best ways to identify the sex of a turtle.
Hmm.
Question.
Hit me with that again, that last tidbit.
So if you look at the bottom of a turtle shell, if it's very vibrant in color, that's likely a male. If it's very muted in color, that's likely a female.
I didn't know that.
Now you can go out there sexing turtles. Well, you know, it's
Be
not like
a blue crab.
You read that somewhere? You know that.
No, I read that.
It's like a blue crab's got the blue bottom.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Question three.
That's a great little tidbit.
Question
if
three.
True.
The topic is foraging. What vulgar name is often used to describe half-free morel mushrooms? The room is stumped. The topic is foraging. What vulgar name is often used to describe half-free morel mushrooms?
Half-free.
Half-free.
Could you describe what that means?
Like poking through the...
Not going to help you out. Half-free is what some folks would refer to this type of mushroom, but there's a vulgar nickname that goes along with it. What vulgar name?
What if I had a moral,
just tell me what.
Like, who's the guy from, you know, the guy from Tennessee that wouldn't fight in World War II?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A Quaker.
Yeah.
So you know the answer, you're saying.
I know the answer, but I have moral obligations to saying it. I'd like the point.
You can hand.
You know, but you don't want to put it down.
Right? I'm kidding. I don't know.
But would it be below you, Clay, to write it down? I guess it depends how vulgar it is, right? Okay.
It depends.
Steve, you have this one right. You're the only one who's come up with an answer.
I feel like I probably got it, maybe.
Okay. What vulgar name is often used to describe half-free morel mushrooms? This may stump the room. This is question three.
I'm just going to come up with something vulgar.
Yeah,
it
works. Yeah, I'm trying
a good
to decide
strategy.
If I should... going to write the worst thing he can think of.
That's a good strategy.
Now see, where I'm at is I'm not even wanting to explore.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, because well, I mean, like, what am I going to write?
You can
this is a lose-lose
Clay,
for me.
Your mom would want you to win, buddy.
You think so?
It's like, yeah. Your mom
okay,
would
Juju,
want...
Okay, Juju, here we go.
Yeah, she would wait. If you don't do it out of respect for your upbringing and let your mom down by losing.
She'd be like, yeah. It's okay, sweetie.
Clay, who would you donate to if you won? The Western Bear Federation, or something
they need
like that.
I've,
right?
I have donated to them before, and to Hal.
Do it for them.
So do it for them, Clay. Think about all those bears, all that bad legislation, and then write down a bad word.
And then think about you sitting in hell.
With the decoy makers.
My wife
the healthy population of bears above you.
Is Does everybody have an answer? Now, Brent, it's like a level of vulgar where I'm comfortable reading it on the podcast. So, yeah, maybe use that for your judgment.
Yeah, my wife watches this show.
Okay.
Can I just say, like, from like a scale from 1 to 10 on a vulgar scale, it's like a 2.
I'd say I'm like way off.
Then.
Okay, is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Dave saying... I'll skip Dave. Paul saying Turtlehead. That'd just be a little treat for the YouTube audience. Hey. They can see Dave's answer. Brent saying Lo and Behold. Phelps saying Gnome Dick. Hunter saying Bastard, which is like on the right level of thinking. Clay saying the female name for a dog.
No. I actually didn't have any. I mean, it was arbitrary.
Okay. Brad saying Whorls. I like that. Steve saying peckerheads. Steve got it.
Hey!
The correct answer is peckerhead or dog pecker mushroom.
Juju, I was not thinking that word. It was a joke, me putting all the little...
Peckerhead morels are edible, but resemble some lookalikes that are toxic. Peckerheads smell and taste like morels and can be cooked in a similar fashion. They tend to have a longer stem than morels, with the top of the cap being connected directly to the stem. Peckerheads are a good indicator that you're in the right area at the right time to find morels. Steve, so you knew that one. Have you seen peckerheads out in the wild?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever picked them and eaten them?
Mm-mm.
You haven't. You just stay away from peckerhead mushrooms.
I'm familiar with them, but I had them lumped under the falsies.
Yeah, it's probably a safe way to forage. Yeah. But if you knew what you were looking at, you could take a peckerhead.
Why you gotta try to make a little knock on me?
I don't think I was.
Well, you're like, oh yeah, but if you knew what you were looking.
Question 4, the topic is hunting. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Andrew Washburn for sending this great question. Andrew is going to get a board game signed by the crew. If you want a chance to win our listener question of the week, then send your question to trivia@themeateater.com. The topic is hunting. What Greek hunter can be seen in the night sky aiming a bow at a bull? Brent and Paul, they know this one. Steve looks confident as well. What Greek hunter can be seen in the night sky aiming a bow at a bull? Brent, you have this one right?
It's a toss-up between two.
Okay. Are you disappointed in Clay for not having an answer yet? You think
no,
you should know this
I
one?
Am.
Clay is disappointed in Clay. What Greek hunter can be seen in the night sky aiming a bow at a bull? Steve?
I have no idea
so bad.
How to spell what I'm trying to say.
There's a hint. Steve, is this going to keep the perfect game going? Do you have this one right?
I think I got her.
Okay. Steve thinks he
I didn't
has
have
it.
Any trouble spelling it, so it's probably wrong.
That's helpful.
You guys want to...
My buddy the other night said, man, I can't even... We were talking about AI, and he goes, I can't even barely spell AI.
Clay and Brent, you got any more hints to trade each other here?
No, we got it. We should have talked earlier.
Come up with your hand signs.
Chili.
Uh-huh.
Chili. Oh, speak check this me. Out. my buddy, the blue collar scholar, Tommy Edson, he doesn't live in a cold climate, but he was over here in Montana, and he texts me. He says, how do you people deal with the pissers on your windshield wipers freezing up? And I said, well, you got to buy really low temp fluid. He started thinking he was going to dump a bottle of cheap vodka in there. And he went into the store, and instead of buying like some Smirnoff or Popov or something, it occurred to him to put some isopropyl alcohol in there, and he swore that that fixed the problem.
It did it. Mm-hmm. Maybe it created another problem, though.
That's what I'm waiting to hear.
Flammable.
Does everybody have an answer for the Greek hunter that can be seen in the night sky aiming a bow at a bull? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Dave saying Dimitri. Paul saying Orion. Brent saying Nimrod. Phelps saying Socrates.
He spelled Socrates wrong.
Hunter saying Apollo. Clay saying Poseidon. Brad saying Zeus. Steve saying Orion.
Orion.
The correct answer is Orion. Mm. We had Dave, and Steve and Paul. I'm sorry, Paul and Steve get that one right.
Good job, I told you guys. It was between two.
That was the other one you were debating between? Okay.
But I decided against it because I kept thinking Orion's belt for some reason.
He was wearing one of those new FHF gear belts.
What's weird is he's packing a bow, but he's got a sword too.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Some cultures depict him as holding a shield instead of a bow, and then he's got a sword or a club. I like the bow version of it.
I think he's got a fish bonker.
Oh, there you go. According to Greek mythology, Orion was a legendary hunter who was banished to the sky for boasting about how many animals he could kill. Now he and his two hunting dogs eternally chase Taurus the bull, but are never able to catch him. Orion can be used for navigation in the northern hemisphere by looking at his belt, which roughly runs east to west. Question 5. The topic is gear. What state is the Great American Outdoor Show held in?
That's a real give me.
This will be a bone to our, I don't know, maybe if you like own a business that makes outdoor gear, this would potentially help you.
So
what
you're saying
state?
We shouldn't get this wrong?
What state?
You're throwing a bone to the whole room.
What if you can't spell the state?
Don't give hints like
there's,
that.
There's a little hint from Clay. Brent has a blank board right now.
And a blank stare.
What state is the Great American Outdoor Show held in? This is question 5. We'll
Brent, just try to think. What's the greatest American state?
It's going to Arkansas.
It's like, I didn't know they had that in Arkansas. Uh-huh.
Like, when you think of America, what state pops in your mind?
The Great American Outdoor Show.
I'm going back with my original.
Is everybody ready?
America.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Dave saying Illinois, Paul saying Pennsylvania.
When you
Brent.
Close your eyes and think of America, Massachusetts pops into your head?
No. Arkansas does.
Brent saying Massachusetts, Phelps saying Pennsylvania, Hunter, Clay, Brad, and Steve saying Pennsylvania. They got it. The correct answer is Pennsylvania. The 9-day event wrapped up in early February. The Great American Outdoor Show is the world's largest outdoor expo. It's estimated that over 200,000 people attended the event to see over 1,000 exhibitors. The show has been held in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania since 1956.
That's where I met Buck Bowden.
Oh, you guys just hit it off.
Mm-hmm.
Here you are today with that big old moose upstairs now.
No, that had nothing to do with Buck Bowden.
Okay. Buck doesn't get any credit. That big old moose. How many of you guys been to the Great American Outdoor Show in Harrisburg?
I've never been.
Steve and Brad, that's it. Okay. Phil, we're halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
Sure thing. Brent, I'm so sorry. Big old goose egg. You've yet to make
cow, Brent.
Man, impression on the board.
That's worse than I normally do.
Jason, Dave, and Brad all have 1 point apiece. Hunter, Spencer, and Clay Newcomb have 2. Paul Lewis has 3. And in first place with a perfect game, it's Steven Ranella.
Perfect game for Steve.
Spring is a great time to do something with your family. Do some spring cleaning, which I kind of started today outside, planning outdoor activities, which I'm always doing, taking a little trip to Hawaii with your kids for spring break, which I just did, which was great. You know what else you can do for your family this spring? You can shop for life insurance with Policy Genius. Make that part of your financial planning for the year. I've said it before 1,000 times. I'll say it again. When my wife and I, when we started having kids, we got serious about life insurance. And man, I felt so much better after we did. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it may not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. You know, I didn't realize this about myself before until I saw the terminology for it, but as a hydrator, I'm a chug person, meaning I go and go and go and go and go because I'm busy and thinking about what I'm doing. And then I go like, man, I need to hydrate. And then I just chug. And one thing that helps me chug a lot more and more frequently is Liquid IV. Because frankly, water kind of bores me, but I love Liquid IV. 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. I love how convenient the packaging is for whatever it is I'm doing that day. Traveling, in the field, working in the office, I'm still drinking Liquid IV. It's satisfying, helps me get rehydrated, and even when I'm flying around, I just carry it in my pack. I keep it in my computer bag. 1 stick, 16 ounces of water, hydrates better than water alone. No artificial sweeteners. However you like to hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free, in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code MeatEater at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code MeatEater at liquidiv.com. Man, I've had a Helix sleep mattress for years, and man, that thing is nice. The Helix lineup, it's just comfortable. It feels good, and you don't get all like, it's not all like hot and sticky in the summertime. It's not cold in the winter. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids. Take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. Helix knows there's no better way to test out a mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/meateater and use code HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Question 6. The topic is fishing. This next great question is via Dustin Bins. The furthest inland this fish has ever been documented in North America is near Alton, Illinois, on the Mississippi River. The topic is fishing. The furthest inland this fish has ever been documented in North America is near Alton, Illinois, on the Mississippi River.
Steve, you're looking for a lot of specificity here?
Yeah, sure. If you think the answer is white-tailed deer, you need to say white-tailed deer.
I would put that down.
What if we just said deer?
That would not be good enough. You need to put white-tailed deer. Paul, Steve, and Clay all were quick to answer. Clay, do you know this one?
I'm like 85%, 80.
Okay. You didn't just write down deer.
That's right.
Okay.
Dave, can I have that decoy right there?
Absolutely.
What's special about that one?
That's a true three-quarter
nice
strut.
And I like the stand. Mm.
7/8
strut. 7/8 strut.
It's hard to walk in this room without kicking a decoy at this point.
Hey, the room looks really good since the last time I've been here.
Oh, you ain't seen nothing yet, dude. We got a lot of work doing here. Phil wants to paint the whole thing.
Really?
He don't like the white. Me and Phil are going to paint this whole place.
White. It's kind of bright.
We're going to roll it with a roller.
Okay.
Here's the question again.
What color?
Phil can't decide.
If it was darker, it'd be a little warmer.
Yeah, I'm thinking like a dark, like forest green, maybe like a dark blue.
I was thinking about having a sign up where you can volunteer to come. It's going to be called Paint with Stephen Phil.
Yeah.
And HR, it'll be like the thing you sign up on an HR.
Yeah. But you have to be a professional painter.
No, just you come and help take shit down, paint, and hang stuff back up.
Yeah, me and Steve are going to be like Tom Sawyer.
We could do it in a half day.
Yeah, I'll be like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I want you painting the walls in here. You'd be like, come on, dude, let me paint.
You need a mural, Steve. A mural.
Of what?
I mean, just of something really cool. Uh-huh. I'm a big mural guy.
This is the question one more time. This is question 6. The furthest inland this fish has ever been documented in North America is near Alton, Illinois, on the Mississippi River. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Dave saying Atlantic salmon. Paul saying Baskin shark. Brent saying Asian carp. Phelps saying swordfish. Hunter saying channel cat. Clay saying tiger shark. Brad saying bull shark, Steve saying bull shark. We have a correct answer in the room. It's bull shark, Steve and Brad.
That's a bunch of bull shark.
The bull shark was caught about 1,000 miles from the Gulf of Mexico by two commercial fishermen in 1937. They noticed their mesh nets were getting raided by a large predator, so they built a wire trap and baited it with chicken guts. What they expected to be a muskie turned out to be a bull shark that was 5 feet long and 80 pounds. For more on this story, read my article on themeateater.com called Could There Actually Be Bull Sharks in the Midwest?
Wow.
Question seven.
I'd have been better off just saying, dude.
Man, I knew the story, but I didn't know it was in the 30s.
1937. Yeah. There's even photographic evidence. Otherwise, it probably wouldn't be verified the way it is. Question seven. The topic is hunting. What migratory bird goes by nicknames such as tarbellies and giggle chickens? What migratory bird goes by nicknames such as tarbellies and giggle chickens? This is question seven. This may ruin Steve's perfect game. He has not picked up his whiteboard yet. What migratory bird goes by nicknames such as tarbellies and giggle chickens? We have Brad and Dave, who appear to be confident. Hunter is joining them now. Clay, you feel good about your answer?
Well, I'm a little gun-shy after... bull shark.
Okay. Yeah. Arkansas probably has all kinds of things you guys call giggle chickens, be my guess.
Most of them are relatives.
It's a good one, Brent.
Damn it, man. Got a good game going.
Have you come up with an answer yet?
Yeah, but I don't like it.
Okay. Steve doesn't like what he wrote down. This is question seven. Is everybody ready?
I'm as ready as I'm going to be.
Steve is not ready.
I'm not going to get it. I don't know.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Dave saying Pacific White Front Specklebelly. Paul saying goose. Brent saying Specklebelly Geese. Phelps without an answer. Hunter saying Specklebelly. Clay saying Specklebelly Goose. Brad saying White Fronted Goose. Steve saying loon. The correct answer is Specklebelly Geese or Greater White Fronted Geese. The room did very well, really rubbing it into Steve, who did not get that one right.
Really quick apologies. Who wrote White-Fronted Geese?
Brad and Dave. Great. They got that one right.
Awesome.
Other nicknames for specklebellies include specks, barbellies, laughing geese, and white fronts. They're known for their distinctive salt and pepper markings on their breasts, as well as their high-pitched hee-hee cackle. The only banded bird I ever shot was a specklebelly in South Dakota, which was banded in the Arctic Circle. Dave Smith makes tarbelly decoys, but they're currently out of stock.
Man, we hunt them just like ducks back home. I mean, they'll work into decoys just like ducks will.
Now imagine if you had some Dave Smith decoys.
Oh, it'd be murder.
Oh, yeah.
Had to paint them blaze orange.
They wouldn't stand a chance. Do you guys sell a lot of specklebelly decoys? Is that like a very, very niche market or bigger than you'd think?
Oh, we sell a lot of them. Yeah, they're popular in the South and California, but there are a lot of late speck seasons now throughout the Midwest and Northwest, and a lot of guys will freelance in Canada where there are a lot of specks. So, and just for the record, I didn't put greater white-fronted goose because there's also a lesser. They're found in Europe.
Ooh. You got that one right, though. Steve, do you feel? How do you feel about not getting that one?
Man, like I didn't really know what to put down.
Did your homunculus know?
No. And then, but what I did know is that these boys answered it so fast. I was like, it's definitely something they hunt. And then I just kind of clammed up.
Went with a loon. Question eight, the topic is cooking.
So you're saying you thought that we hunt loons?
No, I knew I was wrong. And like how cockily they answered it. I was like, it's like, they're definitely intimate. They're intimate. They're like, Yeah. So I knew it wasn't a loon.
Question
eight. They're not intimate with loons, but there's just like a cockiness I picked up.
The topic is cooking. This next great question is via Tony Estrada. What's the six-letter name of the bowl used for crushing and grinding ingredients for food and cocktails? What's the six-letter name of the bowl used for crushing and grinding ingredients for food and cocktails? The room looks very confident. We will get a scoreboard update from Phil the Engineer after this. This is question eight. What's wrong, Phelps?
It's very clearly explained, but I don't know if I knew which one's which now.
Okay.
Yep.
He's encountered a potential trick.
Oh. You may have just helped me.
Yeah, man. Like
oh, I thought.
It's like.
Wait, you know, like, no,
if you're
I was
saying
gonna...
it. If you're saying something, you know it, or else you can't say it.
I was gonna be
so
quiet.
So there's no point in saying it.
I feel like it was dug out of me there.
Thanks, Jason.
Yeah, we waterboarded Jason.
I felt like I was I was thinking what you just said. Like no,
I probably just switched mine and got it wrong.
I hope so. Mm.
Yeah, for the record, Clay did change his answer.
I did, 100%,
on what Jason said.
I feel like I could get out of this in court.
Here's the question again. What's the six-letter name of the bowl used for crushing and grinding ingredients?
I don't think you've got anything to be afraid of, Steve, on losing this game.
Is everybody ready? I think you're closer than you think, Clay. Go ahead and reveal your answer.
Don't spell it wrong.
We have Dave saying Komai.
Oh.
Paul saying Pestle.
Pay attention to what he has.
Brent saying Pestle. Phelps saying Pestle. Hunter saying mortar. Clay saying mortar. Brad without an answer. Steve saying mortar. The correct answer is mortar.
Ah,
I'm going to have
thank
to
you,
Google
Jason Phelps.
Komai. Is that how you spell that indeed? I've never heard of that.
That's for Spanish speakers. But also you see it used.
When I Google your
when you're
spelling,
making a big old batch of guacamole, you're not using a mortar and pestle. You're using the same thing, but it's a komai.
Hmm. Is it a Camila? No. You can have the point, Dave. I'm not that passionate about it. My Google result is yielding nothing.
We have one at our house.
Okay.
My wife uses it all the time.
I trust you.
I don't know how to spell it. But.
The pestle is the grinding club, while the mortar is the bowl. The oldest known pestle and mortar was found in Southwest Asia and dates back to 35,000 BC. Most early examples are small and handheld, but some versions that date back to 10,000 BC are big enough for a person to stand inside of. One of those large mortars from a cave in Israel is believed to be a spot where humans crushed cereal grains to brew beer. Phil, we have two questions left. Give us a leaderboard update.
I'll just cut to the chase and say that Steven Ranella is the winner.
Oh, really?
Okay. Oh, right. That's no two fun. Questions left.
Make us feel like we have
we're
a chance.
We're playing for a second.
we're on a tight schedule here. But yeah, we've got the next person back. Clay and Hunter have 4 points apiece. They're in second place.
Battlegrounds over here.
Question 9. The topic is natural history. This next great question is via Nate Parcell. This Native American tribe, which is part of the Iroquois Nation, has a hairstyle named after it. Question 9. Topic is natural history. We have a confident-looking room. This Native American tribe, which is part of the Iroquois Nation, has a hairstyle named after it. Phelps, you have this one right?
No, I was going for the joke just real quick and then realized I probably might know the answer.
Okay. Clay, you know this one.
I mean, I think so.
Okay.
I really lost my confidence.
Mm-hmm. Came in here talking about your great percentage of wins, and you let Steve take the victory with two questions.
Well, I don't think I've ever beat Steve, maybe once.
Oh, wow.
But when he's not here, which that's when I show up.
All right. Here's the question one more time. This Native American tribe, which is part of the Iroquois Nation, has a hairstyle named after it. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Dave saying Mohawk. Paul saying Mohawk. The entire room said Mohawk.
The room did well.
The entire room got it right. The correct answer is Mohawk. Phelps erased mullet. That was the joke he was going for.
I almost wrote mullet.
With Mohawk. At the time of European contact, the Mohawk tribe was present in Vermont, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Quebec, and Ontario. They were the easternmost part of the Iroquois Confederacy. Some historians say the Mohawk haircut was an attempt by warriors to make their scalps a more attractive target for their enemies than those of the women and children.
Wow.
Question 10. The topic is wildlife. What Arizona Diamondback pitcher killed a dove with a fastball during a 2001 spring training game? Phelps and Brent are very confident. Hunter's very confident. Steve has rolled his marker across the table. Can't come up with a sports ball player.
It's a great video, though.
You might just see it after
what,
this.
What state?
What Arizona Diamondback pitcher killed a dove with a fastball during a 2001 spring training game?
That thing just obliterated.
Mm-hmm.
Poof.
Who was that guy?
I'll tell you in a minute.
Dave Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's 42,000 of them to choose from. Waiting on Steve to come up with an answer. Clay, you got this one right?
No, not even close. I just put my favorite pitcher.
Oh, all right. It's one way to play. Ooh. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Dave saying Randy Johnson. Paul without an answer. Brent and Phelps and Hunter saying Randy Johnson. Clay saying Nolan Ryan. Brad saying Randy Johnson. Steve saying James Smith. Most popular name in America. The correct answer is Randy Johnson.
The big unit.
Play the video, Phil.
Did you get it right?
I even put his nickname down.
I love that the crowd even.
Like, what are the odds, man?
Yeah.
Well, you could probably figure it out. You have to figure out how many pitches have ever been thrown and then put a one in front of that number with a colon.
Holy God. Was delivering a pitch to home plate when the dove flew in the path of his fastball. The catcher described the scene as, quote, an explosion. The pitch didn't count, and it's estimated the ball was traveling at 100 miles per hour when it struck the bird. A similar event happened during a Yankees game in Toronto in 1983 when Dave Winfield killed a seagull with a warm-up throw. Winfield was initially charged by Toronto police with animal cruelty, but the case was later dropped. Maybe they thought he was doing it on purpose. I don't know. You can't just go out winging fastballs at seagulls on the beach. So,
you know, I met Bryant Gumbel a long time ago.
Oh.
He was telling me how he killed a goose with a golf ball.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. By accident.
One of my most vivid childhood memories.
He killed like a goose or a seagull with a golf ball.
Yeah, geese love golf courses. You know.
One of my most vivid childhood memories, I was on the first grade playground and the second grade playground was over here, separated by like a ditch.
Uh-huh.
And I picked up a rock and just chunked this rock into this empty field. There wasn't a child within like 50 yards.
And hit a kid.
And the rock just arches through the air and I see this kid just running. And it was like slow motion. And he like, bam, hits him in the head. Kid goes down.
Did you fess up?
No.
Oh, really? Still an unsolved crime.
Nobody ever asked. Yeah, if there was a... I'm sorry, man, if there's a kid out there.
Clay was nervous to write down Peckerhead on his whiteboard.
Don't hit a kid.
Right. Stoning a child.
I mean, we're all full of hypocrisy.
Steve is our winner. What, 8 points, Steve?
Yeah.
8 points. Well done, Steve. Clay and Hunter couldn't catch him. What happens now is you get to choose where the $500 donation from Meat Eater goes. What's it going to be?
For this round, I'm trying to think of if I did LAI last time I was down here. Or if I did TRCP.
I was going to say you did NWTF recently.
Maybe I did do NWTF recently.
Hey, what about turkeys for tomorrow?
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, guaranteeing Americans quality places to hunt and fish.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I'm going.
$500 going TRCP from Steve Rinella and Meat Eater with his 8 correct answers. Brad, Dave, thanks for coming and playing. Was it as bad as you thought, Dave?
Yep.
Okay. He's never going to play again. This is your one opportunity to hear one of the 42,000 Dave Smiths play Meat Eater Trivia. Brad, how about you?
Well, what was the final tally?
You'd have to ask Phil the engineer. Oh, Steve win with 8.
You know what? I didn't even mark down the Randy Johnson one because Steve won the game already. Did you get Randy Johnson, Brad?
I did.
Then you got 5 points.
Oh, well done, Brad.
5 out of 10.
What place did I get?
You were like tied for second or third.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I can say I finished second place also to Steven Rinella.
So you and I, mm-hmm. we kind of hung in there a little bit.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll let you and Dave and Brad team up next time.
And
you guys can see if
Steve,
you can...
have you ever been defeated?
Oh, many times.
Oh, okay.
It happens.
Yeah. I'm like, I lose.
You're supposed to say no. And then I could say, I almost had him.
I lose a lot. There's a handful of people that beat me a lot.
Uh-huh.
And those, their names are Randall and Brody.
When you tell the story, though, Brad, you can just tell it. Yeah, Steve has never lost before. He'd like that, I think. Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Hey, I'm excited to share our newest sponsor here on the Meat Eater podcast, which is Poncho Outdoors. The reason I'm excited is I buy their shirts anyways. Dude, they make some good shirts. And they even have an option where if you're like a skinny dude, you can click like the skinny dude thing. It's great. Based in Austin, Texas, Poncho is committed to crafting the world's best outdoor shirts for men. Poncho is only sold on their own website. So head over to ponchooutdoors.com. Use code MEATEATER for a free hat or t-shirt with any purchase of a shirt. Poncho offers free shipping and returns, so you can try them out risk-free. Montana Casting Company is a performance fly rod and reel company based right here in our capital, Helena, Montana. Each model of fly rod is a tribute to Montana's rugged beauty and adventurous spirit. Their rods capture the look, feel, and craftsmanship of a custom-built fly rod. Scott personally calls every customer who buys one of his rods. Head to MontanaCastingCo.com and use code MeatEater20 at checkout for a one-time 20% off discount.